Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
My name is Amit Ashbel.
What's the name of your company?
I work for Checkmarks.
Checkmarks. And what's your position?
I'm the director of product marketing, and I also do cybersecurity evangelism, what some people
Another new term I haven't heard before.
There we go, yeah.
All right, that sounds interesting. Explain that.
Well, actually, the idea is to be in the front of everything that goes on in security, specifically application security.
Right.
To be aware of the market, to be aware of what's going on, new trends, new attack techniques, new vectors of attacks.
That's a great way to describe
it. Most importantly, being proactive in the community and communicating these trends and changes and lack of or maybe gaps that are being identified.
Now, what does your company do specifically?
So we do application security solutions, and we
Come this way a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we do application security solutions, and we concentrate on providing solutions that help the developers or help the enterprise organization to build in security from the start. So getting the developers to be part of the security offer or part of the security effort within the whole software development lifecycle.
So you mean to tell me that the developers aren't just innately coding securely?
Unfortunately, no. Developers today are measured mainly, in most cases, by the speed of which they develop the functionality.
Because speed times money.
Yeah, and of course, and the level of functionality, how many bugs are in the product.
And we learned from some other people that, what was the percentage? 50% of them use open source code, which is more problematic, right? Could be.
It's a good thing. Open source code is great, but it has its own vulnerabilities that come along with it. You want to make sure that these don't make it into the product. Without you even knowing what open source is in your product.
Right.
So why aren't a lot of companies and organizations adopting this secure approach to their development?
So organizations have started to build up the understanding that application security and source code analysis is very critical for their final delivery. They're starting to build development or to bring developers into the process. The problem is that developers don't yet have the skills. What you need to do is actually to be able to provide a solution that will give the developers the ability to learn, to develop skills, while in the same time also help them remediate vulnerabilities that are developed or that are brought into their code by their own coding.
Now, where do you feel the responsibility lies? Is it on the organizations to train their developers or on, let's say, the universities that are teaching our developers to code in whatever given language?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
I have an undergrad in computer science. I was a developer in my early days, and they really focused on secure coding because we had a
They did in school.
They did.
They
Interesting.
Did because we have one of the first certified cybersecurity programs at the University of Texas San Antonio that focused on it. Now, not all universities are the same, so maybe you can shed some light on that.
So if you talk to most graduates from computer engineering, you'd see that they usually don't have a lot of background in security. They might have heard about it. They might have had a single course about it, but it wasn't a major piece of their studies.
Nope.
In terms of responsibilities, I think it's the organization's responsibility. Once you've hired a developer, you want to have them trained for secure development as well. But obviously, it's ideal if we would have universities taking that up as well and providing proper education.
Security Guy Radio's small reptilian brain is having a hard time getting around this concept. As I'm Mr. Security, right? Mm-hmm. I live and breathe it. It drives everybody around me crazy. I don't get how somebody writing code doesn't think that their first responsibility is to make sure this is safe. I don't get it.
So the funny thing is that what you're saying is exactly correct, but if you look at bugs, so functionality bugs, there's not much difference between a functionality bug to a security vulnerability, right? They're both going to create some kind of problem for you and your user base. So that makes that question even more obvious.
Yeah.
But I would see really, too, it's kind of one of those, what's it called, getting to market quicker than your competitor. If they can pump out the code for the product and get that product on the market.
I get it, but there can't be that much of an additional time for security if you start at the beginning, right?
It's exactly the opposite, actually. What organizations are doing today is that they're doing their development. At the end of the process, they say, okay, let's do penetration testing.
When they're all done.
Yeah,
when they're all done,
let's do penetration testing. And then they start their penetration testing, and they figure out they have, I don't know, 200 vulnerabilities they need to fix. Now the process
takes more time.
We're just about to release the product. We have that dilemma. Are we going to release, or are we going to go back to the developers
hurts
to
my
fix
head.
All of
and
that?
And most times they release it, and we've got to patch out in 6 months to fix
it. It hurts my head.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about how they don't have the training and security, the discipline. Okay. So it's something they didn't put Security 101 on the curriculum for college or whatever. They could. That's an easy fix.
Yeah.
Here's my suggestion, though. I think it's more of a cultural mentality. I was a police officer. I'm about protection, keeping the peace, catching bad guys. You know, that's what I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do it well. But most people don't think that way. Very few people think like I think in that term. So I could see, even if we put this in school, I'm not sure that it would translate into people saying, okay, I'm going to help keep the bad guy out. I don't think they get that. It's not an intellectual vulnerability. They can't get it. It's got to be part of your psyche, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And how do you get that to be part of your culture?
Yeah,
so
culture,
what we believe you need to do, and what we try to do, is to provide the developers the platforms and the solutions to be able to learn and educate themselves and make it easy or make it fun, even make the education fun.
Make it a video game. They'll be all over.
So show a developer how to hack his own code.
Right.
So I'm developing code, and I find this vulnerability, and then the platform tells me, hey, you got an SQL injection here. So the developer says, yeah, okay, what do I do now? And then the developer has a chance to go through a process of hacking their own code and understanding what that SQL injection means. That way, the next time, the developer would definitely not do the same mistake.
So now your service and your not software might be the right word, but you're getting hired and you're monitoring the code as it's being written to catch these vulnerabilities almost in real time as they come up. So they don't have to go back and spend a whole another quarter and another $1 million fixing what they didn't write in the first place. Is that a good way to describe it?
More or less. It's not necessarily only a service. We have our own full-blown solution. That can include a service as well. Different organizations have different
platform.
Needs.
Yep.
It's an automated platform.
You run the code in, and it spits out where the vulnerabilities are.
Exactly.
Gives you an opportunity to go back and
fix
them.
So it spits out where the vulnerabilities are. It shows the developer what would be the easiest way to fix those vulnerabilities, the shortest way to fix those vulnerabilities, and how. Do it
now.
Really.
Be honest now. Were you guys black hats and now you're white hats? How do you figure this stuff out, really?
Well, actually, it's quite simple. It's secure coding, and if you build up a flow of the code of the data that goes into the code and goes out of the code, the data flow, what we call the data flow, you can analyze where the data is going in the wrong way, where the data is exposed, where the data is at risk, and then tell the developer how to fix that. It's very, very simple.
What's your resistance in the sales department? People don't want you touching their code. It's my code. You're not smarter than me. I could see people saying it's mine, and I'm afraid to let you see it. Maybe,
you might break it.
You might break it. It's proprietary. Do you have those kind of challenges?
So, but I think that mainly in today's market, because of the fast-paced development, the main problem that organizations face is when you introduce security, in most cases, you're slowing down everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's the perception.
All right.
When, in fact, what you can do, if you've introduced it at the developer level, which is just like fixing bugs, you're going to hasten up. You're going to make the process much faster, fitting continuous integration environments, agile environments, DevOps environments, which makes it much easier for the developer to swallow.
And it speeds up his time, really.
It speeds up their time, and it creates much better quality of code.
Now, not to quote prices or anything, but is this something that a small business could afford? Obviously, we talk about the giant companies, that's a no-brainer. But medium-sized business that gets in this, a new guy that's maybe doing a startup for an app and he's got a limited budget, can he get into this space and afford you guys?
Definitely.
All right.
We have a lot of different ways that we deliver our service.
Excellent.
So one of them is the on-premise, full-blown solution that is usually targeting the large enterprises. We also have service offerings, so cloud offerings, where we can, a developer or an organization, small organization, says, okay, I want to scan this number of lines of code, and that's enough for me. And that, we adapt the price based on the needs and requirements.
Yeah. So it really allows those startup tech companies to kind of validate their code and pump out something secure
starting out.
Now, what do you think is the biggest threat we have going on in the world right now in the cyber world? What do you worry about the most?
Well, I don't think there's one single thing that we should worry about the most. I think that we should look at it as a complete infrastructure.
The world is one infrastructure, wired together. Interesting. All right.
The world is one infrastructure. Yeah. All the platforms are interconnected today. Right. I mean, if you're looking at transportation, financials, they all have multiple channels to access their data. So financial organizations are being hit all the time.
Right.
That's obvious why. It's a money thing.
Yeah.
But when we're looking at you know,
utilities,
transportation, industrials, all of these are also a great risk because everyone's exposing more data today because businesses have shifted to the web. Even if you're a transportation organization, you know, it's not just your buses or your trains or everything. You have your online applications, scheduling and ticketing and all these kinds of things.
Yeah. You got a financial component inside that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And you're constantly at risk of your
And then
data
you
being
have
breached.
The explosion of the Internet of Things, all the interconnected devices and the code being insecurely developed.
And that actually is amazing because these organizations are entering a market that the software industry has been in for a few, you know, like 20 years already.
Yeah.
So the software industry has learned a bit, and it's still having troubles with security. But if you take a, I don't know, let's say the classic example of a refrigerator,
yep.
a fridge, the company who built the fridge doesn't have previous experience yep. with security.
Well, that's a good point.
And they're now exposing a lot of data
yeah,
to
very
the
interesting.
Web.
I heard the city of San Diego just recently launched their smart trash cans.
Smart trash cans.
Yeah, so.
What do they do?
It compresses and it monetizes the amount of...
recyclables or
yes.
something? Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Hack the trash can.
Learn something new every day.
The trash can.
That's probably
right.
coming
a
out
new
next.
Private eye tool, yeah. Give us your website again.
Our website is www.checkmarkswithanx@theend.com.
Okay, good. Excellent. And your name?
My name is Amit Ashbel.
Amit, thanks for coming on Security Guerrilla. It's been a fascinating conversation. You want to come on and do an hour show sometime? Just let me know.
Definitely.
It's a very interesting topic. Yep. I'm glad... I feel a little better that these things are happening.
Yes,
right?
You got evangelists like him out there promoting.
And I'll be an evangelist for you. That's kind of what I do, right? I want to get the word out, and I want to bring people to the table to say, listen, security is not just for some people. It's for everybody, you know, be involved.
Exactly.
Thanks
Thank
a lot. Great
much.
Show. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Barry, you